It is a beautiful Monday morning.
That's not a good start, is it, Jordan?
No.
Let's say it like this.
Try and apply that theory to any other industry in the world.
It's a scam.
I was betting like 70, 80K.
This is the Trademate Sports Betting Podcast, helping you beat the bookmakers. G'day everyone, welcome to episode 74 of the Trademate Sports Betting Podcast. As you'll see, people on YouTube, this is a bit of a random intro because our recording didn't work at the start. So what I'll do is I'll just do a quick intro now and cut to the betting conversation I had with Ryan Bruno, who we were joined by today. Jonas couldn't join us because he's in Dubai living the good life. So here it is. We'll cut straight to us starting to talk about some picks for the fight card this weekend. Max Holloway versus Calvin Kattar. Hope you guys enjoy.
Excluding the main card, or I mean, we were only going to go through three fights today. So Ponzinibbio, Jiang Liang, Condit Brown and Holloway Kattar, or Kattar. I'm pronouncing a bloody country there. Are there any other fights that take your interest, mate?
No, so I did have a little look. I've not had as much time as normal, as I was saying to you, with lockdown and homeschooling the kids and stuff, so I've not really got to dig too deep into it. So I was looking at a few things. Like, I don't really rate Wu Yinan or Yinan Wu. I'm not sure which way around it is. She's a Chinese fighter. And I was looking to kind of oppose her because she was supposed to be fighting Betch Corriera, but that got cancelled. And then she's fighting a debut fighter now called Jocelyn Edwards, but it's been hammered right in now. So it opened at about 2.8, but it's like even money now. And Edwards looks really raw, so just one that I've left alone. And now it's at a price where I'm just not really sure if there's any value left. So no, I don't have anything on the undercard. No.
Yeah, okay. All right, let's go to the main card then. And I think you've got two fights outside of those three I mentioned before that you like. And I've just checked Odds Checker, and they don't even have prices for those two fights you mentioned to me beforehand.
Do they not? I did have a check earlier on, so I have got some prices. So I'll mention them, and then they might have just taken it down now while we're recording, because I know Odds Checker do that sometimes.
All right, far away, mate.
Yeah, so the first one is Dusko Todorovic versus Punahale Soriano, I think is how you pronounce it. So I had a look at the previous fights for these two guys. They're both undefeated. Todorovic is 10-0, I believe. Soriano 7-0. So they're two really good prospects, and they're being like matched up quite early in the UFC career. Soriano's got really good power. He's a decent puncher, but he still looks a little raw on his feet. He doesn't combine his punches and his kicks too well. He tends to be like, like one or two punches and then he resets and moves. But he does have some like natural power. He's got quite a few knockouts on his record. He's a decent wrestler. I think he's a college wrestler. He comes out of Extreme Couture, and they're always, known for having solid wrestling. So that's a big plus. And then Todorovic is a really well-rounded fighter. He's fought some decent guys on the European scene. He fought Michel Pereira, who's, we all know is the great backflip dude, the guy that just beat Chaos Williams just before.
Don't remind Jonas, mate.
Yeah. No. So that's a good win, on the European scene. That's a decent name. He's very well-rounded. He's got good combination punches. He's got some decent kicks. He looks to be pretty solid everywhere, really. But he does have a tendency to kind of slip and roll punches rather than get his hands up completely. So they just glance off him. But obviously in MMA, it's a bit different from boxing. Eventually you're not going to get away with that. And he has been eating a few shots. I looked in his last few fights on the Dana White Contender series. He had his back against the cage and he was trying to like slip punches with his back off the cage and he was getting caught. And with Soriano's natural power, I think that he could be in trouble here. So when I've kind of looked at the money line, I think it's probably where it should be. But there was one bet that stood out to me, and that was Soriano to win by KO. And I found that at 4.2 at VBet. I found that on Odds Checker just before. So I don't know what price you'll be able to get on Bet365, but 4.2 looks pretty good to me.
Yeah, I just got up Bet365 because I guess that's the general bookie that most people can get access to because Odds Checker's not working. So they don't even have by KO. They've got him by KO.
Inside the distance.
Yeah, they've got, basically like you said, yeah. So Yeah, I don't know what if there are other bookies around, but what would be like the price range you'd be taking for Soriano by KO?
So just look to take him around 4. I mean, you might even get that on the exchanges. Like, I saw it was available on VBET, but there were a few bookies that hadn't released the prop lines yet. So you might be able to get something even better than that. Like, as Jonas has pointed out, PokerStars often have really good prices. And I've not checked them, to be honest, myself. But, if you can get 4 on Soriano KO, I think that's a decent bet. The guy's got natural power. And Todorovic does get hit. So it looks like, that looks like solid value to me.
All right. Terrific, mate. And your other one you wanted to go through, Joaquin Buckley, the consensus knockout of the year, man, against Alessio Di Chirico.
Yeah, so, like, Buckley is, he's probably a guy that the UFC have got their eyes on as being a potential superstar. You know, he's coming off 2 really impressive finishes, like the one against Impa Kasanganai was pretty ridiculous. You know, that was like something you see out of like an old Bruce Lee film or a Jackie Chan film. So he's fighting Di Chirico, who's a pretty solid fighter. He fights out of Italy. I think the Buckley has like the power advantage, and he definitely has a speed advantage, but he's giving up reach like he normally does. But Di Chirico, you know, he's got a decent chin, he's got decent output, he's got solid wrestling, and I think he could grind something out here. You know, he keeps a decent pace over 3 rounds, whereas Buckley, he does throw a lot and he throws very hard, so although he does maintain a pretty decent output, you would expect him to kind of drop off towards the end of round 2, round 3. I mean, it's very hard to keep that style up for 3 rounds, so I don't mind Di Chirico. You can get him on the money line. I've seen like 3.25 is available with like Bet365 and a few others. I think that's pretty solid, just because I also think a lot of recreational money will be coming in on Buckley. Look at the KOs that he's had. People that don't really know too much about UFC or aren't really included betting on UFC, you know, they're going to take Buckley without really even looking into it much. So I just think the recreational money is going to be on that side. And then I saw a standout price for Di Chirico KO as well, because, you know, as good as Buckley is and as aggressive and fast and powerful as he is, he does leave himself open. You know, he swings big hooks and his defense is sometimes quite open, as Kevin Holland. You know, we saw Kevin Holland counter him with a straight left and KO'd him. So you can get Di Chirico to win by KO at 12 with Sky Bet, and that's a pretty decent price. I think most other bookies had it around 9, so, you know, I'd be pretty happy to take that if you've got a Sky Bet account. I think that's a nice little bet.
All right. Terrific, mate. Yeah, I like what you said about how it's probably a decent time to oppose Buckley right now. And, I mean, would you see it as a situation where you might wait, you know, until 5-10 minutes or just before the fight, because, you know, you might get some late recreational money on Buckley, just keep pouring in?
Yeah, I think that's pretty likely to happen. And I think even if you just wait till the end of round 1 as well, because, you know, Buckley is quite a fast starter, he's very powerful, and he's very explosive. So it is likely that he'll win the first round, I think. And then when you also kind of put that together with the fact that, you know, the recreationals are going to love him, you might get like Di Chirico at like 5 by the end of round 1. You know, if he has a tough, you know, he gets clipped a bit and he has a tough round 1, then that's another way that you could potentially look at betting it.
Yeah, tremendous. I mean, you can wait till the walkouts probably too, because, you know, that'll be the first thing they mention also.
Well, yeah.
Come off KO of the year.
Like, say, when they're showing the highlights in preparation for that fight, you know, that spinning back kick's going to be impressing everyone, isn't it? So,
I mean, it is very, very impressive, mate. So, all right, tremendous, mate. Well, let's get on to the first breakdown of the day. We are going through Ponzinibbio versus Li Jiangliang. Sorry if I'm botching that pronunciation. I'll just get up the odds on odds checker now. So as we can see here, best odds for Ponzinibbio around that 1.35 mark, and Jiangliang is at 3.4, around that, for best odds. Bet365, Unibet, these kind of bookies. Ponzinibbio, crazy stuff. He's on a 7-fight win streak dating back to 2015, but as we know, we haven't seen him for over 2 years. I remember last time watching him. It just seems like a long, long time ago. So it's been a long time, and he's now 34 years old. So it'll be very interesting to see how he performs with such a long time out, but still on that win streak. And then Jiang Lang, he has been around since 2014. I mean, he's not the most popular fighter going around, so a bit of background for you all. 9 wins, 4 losses in the UFC now. Never really had any big wins. And his last fight, he lost to Magny by decision. I think the best way to start this off, mate, I think is talking about Ponzinibbio. Like, what are your thoughts on how he might come back? Because he's obviously, he's on a good streak here, mate. Like, he's going up and up. After that win against Magny, he would have, at least been in the top 10, if not better than that. So what are your thoughts on his momentum and how he might come back looking?
Yeah, well, I really rate Ponzinibbio. I thought he looks like an elite level fighter, and it's a shame that he never really got, well, he hasn't yet had like a big fight to prove it. I mean, if you look at his record, his best wins, maybe Gunnar Nelson probably. And he's got a win over Mike Perry when Mike Perry was doing okay. And he beat Sean Strickland quite a while ago as well. So he's got some decent wins, but he's not really got that like upper tier win. But if he'd fought somebody like a Woodley or someone like that, I would have favoured him. You know, even going back 2 years, I probably would have favoured Ponzinibbio. He's got a really good jab. He's really big as well and physically strong for the weight class. He's got decent leg kicks, which I think is always a big plus. I'm always, looking for fighters that have decent leg kicks because, as we've seen for the last few years, it's just like guys with big leg kicks, that can be a massive advantage. So I do like everything about Ponzinibbio. It's just the 2-year layoff really that concerns me. And obviously his price is really short now as well. And with that 2-year layoff, it's a bit of a question mark, isn't it?
Yeah, it's. I mean, like you said, like you messaged me earlier in the week, like, the odds are probably right now, and you could even get on Ponzinibbio and be pretty confident, but it's almost too much of a question mark now to be taking something like a 1.35. And the way that Jiang Liang fights, like, you wouldn't be surprised if he caught him with something, and if there was ever a time where he could catch someone like Ponzinibbio, it would be now when he's had an over 2-year layoff.
Yeah, it's a good point, and like it's probably going to be a striking battle, and like you can be a bit more confident when somebody's got a huge wrestling advantage that they're going to be able to just grind it out. So when you get those odds on like Khabib or someone, you can be a bit more confident. But when it's going to be a striking battle, like you say, 2-year layoff, Jing Liang Li can crack pretty hard as well, and he's got decent kicks. He's got quite a few stoppages. The guy's durable as well, so he'll take a beating. And he's got like a similar body type as well to Ponzinibbio, so they're both very long. So obviously Ponzinibbio is used to being the bigger guy with a big reach advantage, and he can just pop that jab in the face and then kick him with leg kicks. So he still will have that advantage, I think, in the fight. But Jing Liang Li might be able to negate that a bit better than other fighters, just because he also has a decent size reach. So when I've looked at this fight, the bet that stood out to me as value was Ponzinibbio by decision. That was at 3.5 with Bet365. And the reason was just because I do think he does have a lot of advantages in this fight. But coming off a 2-year layoff, he might be a little bit rusty. And Jing Liang Li is just really durable as well. So I would probably rather take decision than KO, to be honest.
Yeah, for Ponzinibbio.
Yeah, for Ponzinibbio, yeah.
Yeah, I understand that, and I mean, would you look at something like, I mean, Betway's got, they seem to be a bit of an outlier here. They've got Jiang Liang by KO at 6.5. I mean, if there was, if there was a reason to back Jiang Liang, you'd probably be pretty hesitant to back him on the decision or submission. So if you were going to have a little speculator, do you think 6.5 or something you'd interest you for Lee?
Yeah, I mean, that seems like a decent bet. Like you say, 2-year layoff, it's going to be a striking battle. Jing Liang Lee can crack, it's not a terrible bet. I mean, I do rate Ponzinibbio, so that's kind of why I want to look to get on his side, because I do think he could be like an elite talent, top tier talent. Well, I don't think Lee's at that level, but it's MMA and, small gloves, 2-year layoff. I can't really put someone off if they want to back Lee by a KO.
Yeah, well, I'll have a look now, but I'm. Are you sure? Do you know if Ponzinibbio has ever been knocked out?
Yeah, he's been knocked out by Lawrence Larkin, finished him a few years ago, and I think early on in his career he got stopped as well. I don't think Lee's ever been finished, though. He seems like a very durable guy.
Hmm. Okay, well, yeah, that's interesting. So, yeah, well, hopefully we're giving some people some good insight there. I mean, you're definitely interested in taking that, what is it, 3.4 or 3.5?
Yeah, you can get a 3.5 on Ponzinibbio. If you can get anything above that, obviously I'd take that, but I think that's a pretty decent bet.
Yeah. All right, tremendous, mate. We'll move on. Very, very excited about this one. I'm sure everyone in MMA circles very excited about this one. Carlos Condit versus Brown. Odds for this one, 1.624, or maybe you can get a little bit higher than that on Matchbook for Carlos Condit. And Matt Brown is sitting at 2.4 on the money line there. Like I said, classic fight here, although both fighters are well out of their prime. But, this has Fight of the Night written all over it. Should be very, very entertaining. Condit finally snapped that five-fight losing streak against Court McGee in October. Brown, since coming back from retirement, has had one win and one loss. I think their ages are, I think Condit's at, he's 36 or 37 and Brown's 40 now. So it's a real, old-timers fight here, but it's, it should be fun nonetheless. I guess they're both going pretty good for their ages. Like, although they're bloody, bloody old, like they still look pretty decent.
Yeah, I mean, it's a shame this fight didn't happen, 5 years ago, but it's still a really good fight. And I was still really excited for it because they booked this fight at least 3 times, I think. And it seems to fall through every time. So, I'm glad to see it. It should be an interesting fight. I mean, I watched both guys today, actually. And Matt Brown still looked pretty good, watching him fight Baeza. He's still very aggressive. He keeps that style. He's still very strong, he's very good in the clinch, got good elbows, good knees. But obviously he's 40 years of age now, so he's slowed down quite a bit. He doesn't take shots as well as he used to. He used to have a really good chin. And Baeza cracked him and dropped him in the first round and then finished him in the second round, I think, from memory. So that's a bit of concern when you're 40 years old and you've just been stopped. And it wasn't too long ago either, that fight. It was, I think it was within a year. And then Condit, obviously, picked up a win against Court McGee. That was only a few months ago. That was like October. So I think that's a good sign for him, that he's fighting just a few months later, because he has been quite inactive. And he himself retired, didn't he, after the Lawler fight? I think he said that he was done. When he lost that split decision against Robbie Lawler, where he could have become UFC champion.
Robert.
And then obviously, it was a pretty close fight, but probably should have won it. But he's still very durable. Like, I watched his fight against Court McGee, and he was getting hit a few times, and he took the shots really well. And he's always been really durable. Condit, that's one of his kind of big strengths. And he's very unorthodox as well. He's quite a hard guy to prepare for. He's quite, lanky, throws punches from weird, like, herky-jerky angles. I don't know if you remember the GSP fight? He caught GSP with, like, a head kick,
yeah,
which was really weird. He, like, ducked down and just threw, like, a kick, like an overhead kick caught him. So he's a hard guy to prepare for. So for me, I kind of favour Condit in this fight just because I think he's still got a bit more left. I think he's got the better chin of the two. And I think he's probably got the better cardio as well, like Brown, at 40 years old, and the way he fights. I can't see his cardio lasting, 3 rounds. I can't see him, putting it on Condit for 3 rounds and not slowing down. And I also think that Condit's the better range fighter as well. And I think he's quite hard to catch as well, Condit. He's got decent backward movement. If you watch, like, the Diaz fight, the Nick Diaz fight, when Nick Diaz was trying to close range and Condit was just, staying out of range and kicking him. He's always had that ability. So, yeah, I quite like Condit here. I got 1.7 on Betfair. So if you can get that 1.66 on Matchbook, I would probably still take that. I think that's quite good.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, isn't it? Because I think it's most likely going to stay up on the feet, isn't it? And they're both, like, reasonably well matched on the feet. and you kind of get the feeling that it's, I don't know, at least in my opinion, I think it's kind of just a battle of the chins, like, and it might be a case of, you know, both chins hold up throughout the whole fight, because I don't know, who would you say is, I think you said Condon's got the better chin, but who would you say has got the most power? Because although, you know, both of them have highlight reel knockouts, I don't know, would you say Brown's probably got the better power?
Yeah, probably. I mean,
not as technical. Really.
Yeah, I mean, Condit knocked out Hardy a long time ago. That's one I remember. Mm-hmm. And he dropped Colt McGee in the last fight. But I can't really remember too many times where Condit's just like caught guys clean and knocked him out. And Brown in the clinch, he's got some pretty nasty knockouts. Like he, you know, killed Diego Sanchez, didn't he? That was that an elbow, I think.
Oh man,
but that was a really bad one though.
Fuck yeah, and that was. Oh, that was his last fight before he retired, wasn't it?
Yeah, it Brown. Was. Yeah. Before his first retirement.
That just shows you how much Sanchez should retire. Like, seriously. That was brutal.
But, I mean, Matt Brown has got, like, all right takedowns, actually. And Condit's takedown defense has always been, like, one of his big weaknesses. Like, I don't know if you remember when Matt Brown fought Stephen Thompson a long time ago, that's kind of how he beat Thompson, was just pressure and takedowns. So he's got that in his game, but Condit's got a pretty active guard, and he's pretty decent off his back as well. So, and I don't really see Brown going for that. I think Brown's just going to do what he normally does, which is, you know, walk forward, look to, you know, pressure guys, get them against the clinch, you know, land the elbows and knees. I just think he might have a hard time, you know, closing down Condit and getting him against the cage, because Condit is really good at moving backwards, and he's also really good at, like, landing those very unorthodox shots as well as he's moving backwards. So, yeah, trust Condit's durability a bit more. I think he's got the better chin, and I just think he's more likely to hold up over three rounds as well, where I think that Brown, you know, at 40 years of age with his style might be, you know, prone to just drop off, really.
Yeah, so looking at some of the method of victory markets here, is there any interest here at all, mate? Like, would you say Condon, the most likely outcome here is Condon by decision? I mean, you can kind of see that scenario playing out, can't you? Just, you know, not being able to finish Brown because he's quite a durable character. But then you could also see something crazy from Condit too to finish him. So is there any way you're leaning here?
Brown's style is very, you know, it's he's offense first, isn't he? He's not really thinking about his defense a lot of the time. He's like a come forward guy, so he's kind of finished, you know, he's going to finish you or be finished. So that Condit to win by KO 4.33 with Paddy Power and Betfair, that looks pretty decent actually. And VBET's 4.3. Like, I'm happy with the money line just because could see it kind of finishing a few different ways, but that, you know, will be put off with that either.
Yeah. All right, mate, tremendous. We will we'll stop talking about that fight now. And before we get on to the main event, mate, which is a very, very exciting encounter, something more exciting's happening in the world at the moment. People who listen to the Thursday or Friday show for me, Thursday show for you guys in Europe, with the football preview, we are now proudly sponsored by Manscaped. So Manscaped is the best in below the waist grooming for men. They offer precision engineered tools for your family jewels, and they've just launched in the UK, which is tremendous. And as probably most people know, they are also available all around the world, in Europe, Australia, North America. So we thought, why not partner up with them? And, you know, I've had my own problems in this area, Ryan. I don't know how much you want to share yourself, mate, but I think everyone's got a story where they've, you know, been doing a bit of manscaping downstairs, and it just hasn't ended in a happy way. Like, it's very important that we have the right products. So that's why Manscaped the Manscaped engineering team has perfected the greatest ball hair trimmer ever created, and they've just released the new and improved Lawnmower 3.0 in the UK. I completely forgot to bring mine with me. It's just sitting in the bathroom next to me, but I won't go get that for you. But let me just say, Ryan, it is It's been tremendous so far, mate. It's got this waterproof technology, which allows you to do your business in the shower. My favorite feature is the LED light, so it gives you a full outlook of what you need to do and where you need to work, and just gives you a lot more precise trimming. And the spray, there's a nice little spray there too for your which my girlfriend really likes, so it gives yourself a nice little scent, and off you go. So highly recommend these guys if you're looking to up your game in the bedroom, and if you want to experience, you know, all the attention that you can get in the bedroom. You can get 20% off plus free shipping with the code TRADEMATE20 at manscaped.com. I'm very sorry, on the Thursday show, if we've got people who listen to both of them, I got the code wrong there. So it's not TRADEMATE, it's TRADEMATE20. So 20% off, free shipping at manscaped.com. Use the code TRADEMATE20. And as Manscaped say, your balls will thank you.
Well done, mate. Well done.
That's all right, mate. Thank you. Did
you write that all down, or was it from memory?
Oh, it's from memory, mate. As you could see, I was looking at the camera the whole time, just reciting. Yeah, very, just professional. Yeah, as you know, mate, professional as always. Max Holloway, Calvin Kattar. This is a bloody exciting fight. What a way to kick off 2021. Two impressive wins for Kattar. What's going on?
Yeah, I always get mixed up too. I still don't know which is the right way to say it. So
I feel like it's Kattar, so I'll try and stop saying Kattar. But Kattar, 2020, big win for him. Two big wins for him, but he has kind of stumbled every time he's faced someone of a top five quality. Stumbled against the Beat and Renato Moicano. Holloway, as we all know, a lot of people probably consider him the champion after that extremely close decision loss to Volkanovski. And interestingly enough, he's actually lost three of his last four fights. So he's lost the two to Volkanovski, lost to Poirier for the lightweight title, but he had that win, I think, after Poirier against Edgar. I think that was in between, but I could be completely wrong there. I guess to sum this fight up, it's a very, very hard fight to sum up, but the only thing we can kind of guarantee is it'll probably stay on the feet the whole time, Ryan?
Probably. I mean, Holloway does have a decent ground game, so, you know, I think a smart thing for him to do would be to kind of mix up some takedowns just to kind of keep Kattar guessing a little bit, because, you know, Kattar's a very good striker. If you just let him, you know, if you just stand up and box with him, you know, you're fighting to his strengths, really. And, you know, we've seen Holloway's ground game's really good. He's got decent submissions. I mean, it's a tough one, really. I think he should do that, but whether he will, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, and I forgot to mention the odds, sorry. So we got best odds for Holloway, 1.62, maybe a little bit higher on the exchanges, and 2.54. Kattar in a few places there, Bet Victor, Betfair, and Paddy Power. So, yeah, mate, where do you see this one going? I mean, it's both have arguably two of the best strikers in the featherweight division. So I guess it's just the ability of someone to be able to break down the striking component of the fight and see where you could find a betting edge here.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a really, really good fight. Obviously, a lot of people think Holloway beat Volkanovski in the last fight, and he kind of showed an improvement in that rematch as well. He, was checking leg kicks better. He was delivering his own leg kicks, and he showed more of his kicking game. And I think Holloway does have a really good kicking game. And it kind of, for a while, he kind of fell in love with his boxing, and he was very just boxing centric. You know, pressuring like that Ortega fight was a great example of where, you know, he showed off his boxing. But that's kind of Kattar's big strength as well. He's got really good hands, and I think Kattar's got more natural power as well. So I think if Holloway is going to win this fight on the feet, then he's really going to have to utilize that kicking game that he's got, because Kattar showed in the Moicano fight, although he looks like he showed up like some of his weaknesses there, that, you know, he was susceptible to leg kicks, and obviously Holloway showed in his last fight against Volkanovski that he's got decent leg kicks. So it's a tough fight for me. Like, I really like Kattar, And I think five rounds suits him as well. Like if you go back and watch him fight Zabit, he struggled like in the first two rounds, but then he came back and he took the third round. But like he kind of got his timing and kind of figured. I mean, Zabit slowed down a little bit, but he seemed like he kind of got in his rhythm there. So I mean, I think that he is a decent five round fighter. We saw him against Ige as well in his last fight. You know, Dan Ige's like he's got a good takedown game, and Qatar like just stifled him really and beat him up. So I'm excited for this fight. I think it's really close. Like we talked a bit yesterday. I think like fight to go to the decision might be the way to play this, but I can see that the odds have been coming in on that. So
yeah, well that was kind of the only play I thought was a confident play, I guess, because it's pretty it's a tough striking battle to break down. Kind of similar to the Thompson Neal fight. Like it's just there's so many different ways that it could go. And it's hard to, you know, take some odds and, you know, be very confident. So yeah, that was something I thought of, the fight going the distance. You could have gotten 1.7 or something around that a couple of days ago, but that's come in. So I got on at 1.67 on Paddy Power, but you can still get that on Sky Bet.
I think that's still a pretty good price, actually.
Yeah, so I'd probably still take that. Yeah, I'd be happy to take that. And
looking at all the American bookies, they're like five dimes. Well, they've left America, but they're 1.57, and they're normally quite good for props. And then Bet365, 1.57. So that 1.67, I think I'd still take that. I think it should probably be a little bit less. It should probably be around like 1.6, something like that.
Yeah, well, I mean, you don't even have to know too much about MMA to look at these odds and see that there's three outliers here that are offering. It's not even like 1.6, although 1.61, 1.67, like it's a pretty decent discrepancy there between, and there's bookies down at 1.57 too. So, yeah, I mean, there's other markets, Method of Victory, maybe.
Yeah, sorry, the other one that I liked was just Qatar by decision as well at five. I thought that's pretty decent, just given that it could be a close fight. And I was also looking, there's a draw market up as well, and you could get the draw at 51, which is big odds. And over a five-round fight, you know, Holloway is likely to be the round winner, but Qatar's got the big power, so you could see him taking like a 10-8 round, you know, like winning another round, and then Holloway taking three. So that stands out to me as being value. So
Get 81s at Bet365 apparently, and BetVictor too. So
I think it's worth a stab. I think
just worth a quick fiver maybe, and you never know. Like there are. I don't think there are enough draws in MMA, and it's which is a whole nother topic. But yeah,
I think we just saw one, didn't we? Moreno, Figueiredo. Yeah. In five round fights, it seemed to happen more often than in three round fights, obviously. So. And then just given the style matchup, it's going to be like a close standing. It's likely to be a close striking fight. Qatar's got more power, but Holloway's very durable. We see like a 10-8 round possibly. And like you say, it's worth like a fiver. So.
But I do like what you said about Qatar by decision, because you think that if he does win, like it's pretty hard to knock out Holloway. I'm not even sure he's ever been finished by knockout, has he? I'm just trying to. I mean, Poirier, Volkanovski both went to decision with him. Poirier's got lots of power. I agree. I think if you are leaning towards, if you're leaning towards either fighter, you know, maybe the money line's not where you want to go. Maybe you can lean towards the Method of Victory markets and have a stab at the decision markets.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I mean, what's Holloway decision? It's like 2-5, something like that.
Yeah, 2-3, 2-3-3. Anything else to say about this fight?
No, it's going to be a really good one. Like even from a live betting perspective, I don't see any clear edge to either guy, because both guys have shown they can go five rounds. Both guys have got solid output over five rounds as well. So. Just like I say, I like kind of the decision prop and the, you know, Qatar decision at five or anything above that. I think that's very good. And you know, and like a small bet on the draw, I think is you know, a pretty decent bet as well.
Yeah, yeah, definitely, mate. And you can, even if you really want to just, you know, float a few speculators out there, like the fight to finish in round five. I mean, if it is going to finish, you would think maybe towards the end of the fight, maybe if someone's just taking an absolute beating throughout the whole fight, because it will most likely stay on the feet, you could have a stab at it finishing in four or five. But, yeah, I quite like the draw and the, yeah, maybe the method of victory for Qatar, Qatar decision, or if you want to take the shorter odds and maybe more of a sure thing, then you can do what I've done and bet the over four and a, what was it? No, the fight to go to a decision. So tremendous, mate. Let's sum things up, mate, with our best of the weekends. Why don't we?
Do you want to go first, mate? I'll have a look and see what I think is the best one.
Yeah, well, I haven't. Yeah, this has only been the first time talking to you now that I've had a really good look at things. And I guess I should only really be saying my best bet of the weekend at the moment is something that I've already backed. So, yeah, I guess I'll just stick with Holloway and Cater to go the distance, fight to go the distance. Yes, as I said before, the odds on that one are you can get 1.67 at Skybet, Paddy Power and Betfair. I'd take that. Yeah, maybe don't go too much lower than that though.
Yeah, sounds good. I'll go with Qatar or Cater to win by decision at five. Like, I'll be honest, I'm not like massively confident, you know, that any of my bets are massive value, but I think there's like some value in all of them. So, you know, but I'll just go with the Qatar one because I think that'll be the easiest one to get on.
Yeah. All right. Awesome, buddy. I'll just get rid of this off the screen. And I was going to ask, is there any, I mean, we've got the midweek card next week, which I'm sure we can cover next Wednesday in time for anyone, but it's not a very good card, to be honest. It's pretty trash, but the main event's obviously quite an interesting one with Chiesa and Magny. I just wondered if you had any early thoughts on maybe the whole card or Chiesa and Magny that you wanted to get out, or do you want to wait till next week?
I mean, I've had a little look, and like I quite like Magny because that's a five-round fight now, and you know, Magny's a bit of a cardio machine. He's very good, but he's also shown that he can be taken down, and Chiesa's got a decent grappling game. So for that one, I'll probably just wait and see if like Magny can survive the first two rounds, and then I go with him. But I think that Mike Davis is a pretty decent bet against Mason Jones. Yeah, Mason Jones is a Welsh fighter. And he's got a decent record and he's been fighting with Cage Warriors, but I think that Mike Davis is a big step up for him. And money has been coming in on Mason Jones, so he opened at 2.9 on Pinnacle and he's 2.6 now, and Mike Davis is 1.53. But I'm in no hurry to chase that price. I think it'll probably just kind of stay that way for a while. But I think that could be a good bet. I just think it's a massive step up for Mason Jones.
Yeah, I've just got the odds up here, 1.53 for Mike Davis's best and 2.62 for Jones. So you wouldn't rush into that 1.53?
Not yet, just because the money's been coming on Jones. So, I mean, it has kind of flattened out now. But I just kind of wait for a bit. Like, you can normally, at those type of prices, so like at the 1.53 range, like you can normally get better on Betfair. So when there is some liquidity, you could get like, you know, like 1.59, 1.6. So I tend at those prices, unless it's like huge value, to kind of just wait till there's some liquidity and then put something up, because like 80% of the time you're going to get a better price.
Yep. All right, cool, mate. Hopefully next week we'll be joined by Jonas, but at the moment, make sure you go and check out Ryan's website, smartsportstrader.com, and follow him on Twitter at smsportstrader, always updating with good UFC, MMA bets, that kind of stuff. So make sure you go and give them a follow. And we'll finish off with the quiz question, mate. So what year did Condon have two UFC title fights in the welterweight division?
So I know we fought St. Pierre and Lawler.
It's a bit of a tricky, I'm being a little bit of a prick here saying that he got two title fights, but, mate, it's true.
I'll go 2013, I guess.
Yeah, close, mate. It was 2012, okay. But he had that interim fight with Diaz.
Oh, yeah, that one, yeah. So when was the Lola? Was that a year or two later? Yeah.
That was 2015, I believe, from memory. Yeah, okay, I remember, because that's why I said it was a robbery, mate, because I backed Condit. So, of course, it was a robbery when you lose the bet. All right, cool, mate. And that'll do us. Next podcast coming up, we'll be back on Thursday night for everyone with the live stream of the Euro football. Nigel will be back, so Nigel, George, and I will cover that. But other than that, thanks for listening. Make sure you do a quick rate and review of the podcast and subscribe to us wherever you listen. Please share around the podcast. Be really appreciated. I think some of the insight that Ryan and Jonas and, you know, even the live stream we do on Thursday nights with Nigel and George, it's tremendous insight from all their guests. So share it around, show your friends. And if you're looking to implement some of the strategies we talk about weekly, more so the value betting ones, start a free week trial of TradeMate Sports and start your value betting journey. Ryan, mate, tremendous stuff once again. And I'll catch you next week, mate.
See you next week.